Throughout the scriptures, we can see a central theme, a reoccurring desire for repentance, reconciliation, forgiveness, and atonement, ultimately leading to salvation. One of the first primary examples of this is seen in Exodus chapter 12. When God was preparing his people for their departure from the land of Egypt and out of slavery, and preparing to demonstrate his great power and judgment on the land of Egypt. To summarize it, God instructed each household to take for themselves an unblemished lamb or goat, slaughter it at twilight, and take its blood and apply it to the lintel and to the doorpost of their houses. This would be a sign as the Lord passed over the land that the firstborn of those who had applied the blood would not die. Exodus 12:13 tells us, "And the blood shall be a sign for you on your houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Exodus 11:6-7 says, "Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such has there not been seen before, and such shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog shall not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel." We see that Pharaoh and the Egyptians would not humble themselves before God and let his people go. Then God would bring them to their knees that night as the people of Israel huddled in their houses. How many do you think were scared that night? How many do you think trembled and wondered, would God be true to his promise? Then when morning came and they walked out of their houses in humility, only to find death all around them that brought about their salvation. We are told in Exodus that the blood would be a sign to them that God would make a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Much like today, the blood of Jesus is a sign. God will make a distinction between the saved and the unsaved. In Leviticus chapter 16, 17, and 23, we see another example of God's desire to bring about reconciliation, and that is the Day of Atonement. Again, to summarize, God instructed Aaron to first cleanse himself, put on the holy garments, take two goats, one for sacrifice and the other one to be the scapegoat. This is the only day in which the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies beyond the veil and apply blood to the mercy seat of the ark to make atonement for the sins of the people. Then he would grab the live goat that was spared and confess the sins and the iniquities of the people over it, and then free it into the wilderness to take the people's sin away. Throughout Leviticus 16, 17, and 23, there's a word that's repeated numerous times, and that is humble. God instructed his people to approach this day in a spirit of humility. Do you think Aaron or the other high priest were proud to walk into the tabernacle or the temple that day, and especially walk beyond the veil, to walk into the presence of God's glory? From all the accounts we can read, they were terrified. They trembled at the thought of it. They trembled at the thought of entering that place where God's glory was. And we see you cannot have reconciliation or atonement without humility. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 15, or 5 through 11, excuse me. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, as God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and those who are on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father." Today, as we approach the Lord's table, do we approach it with reverence and humility? In Colossians 1, 19 through 21, we read, "It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Though through him, I say, whether things on earth or in heaven, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." It's only by the sacrifice of that perfect, unblemished Son that God could bring about our reconciliation and our salvation. His blood was shed on that cross and applied to us at baptism as a sign. And that begs the question of why? Simple. Even though we may not understand it, because he loved us and his desire was for no one to perish. Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time, Lord, that we can come and think upon that cross, Lord, that you sent your only begotten Son, Lord, that although he was perfect and blameless, Lord, that he went to that cross, Lord, and he became sin on our behalf, and more specific, he became my sin and our sin, Lord, that we just thank you, God, so much for the love and the mercy and the grace, Lord, that you bestowed on us, that even though we were unworthy, Lord, even though we still fail to this day, Lord, but you still love us. And we thank you, God, so much for just everything you do for us. And we thank you, God, so much for your Son. And just please, Lord, help us as we partake of these emblems, Lord, that represent his body and his blood, Lord, that we can do so with humble hearts, and even though we don't deserve it, but because you are a loving God and a merciful God, you give it to us anyway. We thank you so much for all these things. In Jesus' name.